All right, everybody, welcome to BO Boys for Monday, March 11th. Fuck it, it's a raw feed. We're doing it live. I'm Clayton.
Yeah, I'm Pat. Clayton, we are at the same table right now. We are sitting across from each other in my dining room in New York City, and we both just watched the Academy Awards together. We both watched the Oscars. And I think we're going to get to the box office, of course. We're going to get to this Kung Fu Panda, this incredible number, this incredible hold for Dune Part 2, second weekend. But we got to start off talking about the Academy Awards. And listen, let's just be honest. We've had a few. Cheers. Cheers. We've had a few. You got a glass of water. You're hiding the fact, though, that you've been throwing him back all night. Well, and I'm continuing because it's Oscar night.
I'm taking a break.
We're going to party deep into the night. You know, whoever's going to the Vanity Fair party, the Jay-Z, Beyonce, Oscar party, good for them. Good for them. Good for you. But this is the BO Boys party, and it's going all night. Mm-hmm. So let's start off what I think the biggest talking point of the Oscars is going to be. The thing that I think everyone is going to be talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks is the In Memoriam tonight.
Yep.
Ended with Tina Turner.
Yes.
And the second that In Memoriam went off, immediately got a message from the great podcast, Jesus Kirk Minahan, reached out immediately. Tina Turner, ? You know, who were you calling, Clayton? Because we were sitting side by side, BO Boys Oscar party. I was yelling one name. You were yelling another name. Who did you think it was going to be tonight?
Well, I had William Friedkin. That was something that Kirk had said. And I thought, you know what? This guy is a huge director, Exorcist. He did French Connection. Hollywood royalty. Yeah. I mean, how do you not go with him? And it got later and later. Yeah. In the memoriam.
And we were screaming at each other.
And I was like, it's got to be.
It's got, once Alan Arkin goes down, once, you know, Norman Jewison was early.
Yeah.
So he's out. Ryan O'Neal.
Ryan O'Neal, which was an option early. Yeah.
Alan Arkin going out early in this in memoriam. That's a big one.
That's like a number one seed going down in March Madness.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big one. And I thought as it went further along, I thought that my pick was going to be it, Tom Sizemore. Yeah. I really thought, and once
I called the snub for that, I thought he's not even going to show up. I mean, he might have been in that list at the very end.
He might have got snubbed from that list.
We are going to have to,
names that were on there.
We're going to have to forensically look at that list and see if he's on that. But
I thought he was, once freaking went, I thought I got it. Tom Sizemore's got it. Because I was yelling Sizemore, I mean, honestly, from the red carpet. Yeah. From before
the podcast
started, I was just on this couch yelling Tom Sizemore. Yes. Made more sense once the In Memoriam started.
Mm-hmm.
But once freaking went out, I was like, it has to be Sizemore.
Yeah.
And it was Tina Turner. It was the star of
Mad Max.
Worst Mad Max movie.
Beyond Thunderdome.
Yeah.
And she was the mayor in Last Action Hero.
Yeah, she was.
Right.
She was.
But not known for her acting.
No. I mean, here's the thing.
A lot of music on the soundtracks, though. Yeah. I think that's huge as well.
And giant star, you know, possibly the most famous person in the In Memoriam. Right? I mean, just in terms of...
Known worldwide, of course.
Not known for movies. Here's what I think happened. And I think you see this a lot. You saw that the year when Sylvester Stallone didn't win Best Supporting Actor for Creed is sometimes someone is just too abrasive and maybe not liked. And I think that caught up to William Friedkin.
Friedkin?
I think he's not a Paul Schrader level, but I think Friedkin is a guy who's been known to be prickly.
Yeah.
And I think that caught up to him tonight at the Academy Awards when he didn't get last for In Memoriam.
Well, both of our snub calls, you called Matthew Perry as a snub because he was famously snubbed at the BAFTAs, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I thought Andre Brower would get snubbed here. He did not. No, and I'm happy. And I'm happy. Here's a bigger problem with the In Memoriam. It was shot terribly.
Yeah.
The way they shot it is you couldn't see the names that you need to be showing the screen. the star is not the interpretive dancers. The star is not the orchestra in the In Memoriam. And it's not Andrea Bocelli and his son, maybe lover. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? We don't know. We don't know. We don't care. It's all good. Son, lover, both. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Facts, not judgment.
Right.
Or
questions, not
judgment. So I couldn't see these names. So I'm freaking out because I'm thinking, am I missing Friedkin? Has he already gone past? And I think, yeah, it just made the big people who did sort of start at the beginning feel like they didn't even get their due. I mean, of course, the Carl Weathers got in, which is great. Beloved Carl Weathers, thank God.
Well, speaking of the Rocky franchise, Kirk pointed out a big one. Burt Young got snubbed. Burt Young got snubbed. And we love Chenandler Bong, mm-hmm.
Miss Chenandler Bong.
And Matthew Perry, we're glad he got on there. Mm-hmm. But you're snubbing one of the co-stars of the Rocky series and it's not a one-to-one.
Yeah.
But the star of Fools Rush In got in and one of the stars of Rocky didn't. We're talking about the movie awards, the Academy Awards.
Yes.
And Burt Young.
Serving Silverman, right? Is that one of his?
Serving Silverman, yes. Serving Sarah.
Serving Sarah, that's right. Yeah. Saving Silverman.
Saving Silverman.
That's the difference.
And Serving Sarah, yeah. Yeah, those were the 90s, folks. So, yeah, that I think that's the main takeaway of the Academy Awards.
They botched them In Memoriam. They botched it.
They botched it.
But. I'm going to mea culpa.
Okay.
Mea culpa.
Yeah.
Jimbo Kimball, you were saying steady hand. We need a steady hand. I was pushing back. I said, nobody wants to see this guy. He cries too much.
Right.
And he did a fantastic job.
He did. Listen.
Steady hand.
This was not Billy Crystal coming out in the hand truck, Hannibal Lecter mask on. This was not, you know, Billy Crystal
riding a horse.
This wasn't Billy Crystal running from David Letterman in The English Patient playing, you know, in the movie. This was not that level.
We may never see that again.
We'll never see that again. Well, we might see something like that next year, because I think we're going to predict who next year's host is. I think most people can predict it, but we'll certify it. Jimbo Kimball did a fine job, steady hand, solid monologue, things hit. The thing about his hosting is, he's a guy who everyone in the room sees as one of them in the club, playful joshing. This was Bob Hope type hosting, where it's like, we're all in the club together. We all come over my house for the catered barbecue and we're all just, you know, jabbing each other and the people get to see us jabbing the way we do at my catered barbecue. Exactly. I mean, we watch this together. I think we're both on the same page. This was, In Memoriam botching aside, Burt Young and Tom Sizemore omissions aside, a fantastic Academy Awards telecast.
The Oscars are back. This definitely felt like the first year, and you said this to me, and I agree, the first year since COVID, that this really felt like an Oscar ceremony in the best way possible. Yeah. And it did help that there was a lot of spectacular films up for awards here.
And big box office films.
Big box office.
Because you were the BO boys. We always take it back to box office. The fact that Barbie, biggest movie of the year, is up and, you know, didn't win a lot, didn't win anything really other than song, but they managed to make it feel like the Oscar telecast was about Barbie.
Yes.
You know, the way that the theatrical and movie industry got to ride off of Barbie's coattails this year, the Oscars telecast didn't give it any big awards, but somehow still made the Oscars telecast feel like the Barbie show.
Yes.
But you know what? They had to do it. Biggest movie of the year. So
Jimbo Kimball said as much in his monologue. Yeah. Ryan Gosling had a little fun banter with his Fall Guy co-star, Emily Blunt, where he said that the reason why it's called Barbenheimer and not Oppen Barbie is because Barbenheimer was riding Barbie's coattails. Yeah. And that is true.
That is true. Because Emily Blunt, and listen, they were both scripted to say this, you know, this was not them out there shooting on each other, brother. But she made a little jab about how Barbie's not been winning any awards. But then he had the topper, which is, you don't have our box office. And
it wasn't the other way around.
Box office was the topper. And we were watching that. We both popped. We both were like, yes, recognize box office. Mm-hmm. Something that I saw a lot of Barbie stars on the red carpet. I mean, star Barbie, America Ferrera. I saw a couple of interviews where she kept bringing it back to box office. Yeah. Biggest hit of the year. Audiences love Barbie. It shows that in the end, the most important thing is box office. And so Barbie didn't win Oscars, but it won the box office. I mean, let's talk about John Cena. We watched Ricky Sinicky this weekend. And
wish it would have been theatrical.
If that movie was theatrical next weekend is a weekend where nothing's really opening next weekend, Friday, March 15th. You know, the 22nd is Ghostbusters, 29th is the collab with Godzilla and Kong. If Ricky Sinicky was opening this Friday, we've seen this film, and coming off of John Cena's show-stealing nudity performance on the Oscars tonight, best bit of the night, easy. I think if Ricky Sinicky was opening this Friday and he was able to say that before he presented the award while nude, that's a movie that could open $17 million based off of this Oscars performance from John Cena.
Yeah, it was his bit was the highlight of the night, where and it was a ceremony where all the bits worked.
Yes,
and there was never really long sweaty bits. It was all very concise. Get in, get out.
Here's something else box office related I want to bring up from the Oscars. Godzilla Minus One, one virtual, one visual effects. Sorry, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a raw feed. Fuck it. We're doing it live after the Oscars. Come on.
So Godzilla Minus One won an Oscar tonight, and their crew of visual effects artists went up there. They're all holding Godzilla dolls.
Cute as can be.
Yeah. And they're overjoyed, gave a nice speech. Everyone liked it. They're all, remember the guy gets the mic and he's like, could you hold my Godzilla?
Yeah.
Which is, that's got to be on a t-shirt. Could you hold my Godzilla?
Hold my Godzilla. It's the new hold my beer.
Yes. Yes, hold my Godzilla. So people are watching that and they're seeing, oh, Godzilla won an Oscar and everyone's holding Godzillas. And then you're seeing the commercials, Godzilla x Kong collab.
Collab.
And I think for the average person, which of course the BO boys are not, you know,
coastal elites,
we know that Godzilla Minus One, Japanese production, has nothing to do with this series of films that has come to Godzilla x Kong collab. Mm-hmm. But the average Oscar viewer, your Joe Lunchpail, your Susie Crochet, your Plain Billy, your Earth Dog, to them, they're just thinking, oh, Godzilla just won an Oscar. And now there's a new Godzilla in theaters in 2 weeks. Must be the same crew.
Oscar-worthy crew.
And so I think tonight, the fact that the movie opens in 2 weeks, obviously if it opened 6 months from now, it wouldn't matter. But it's opening in 2 weeks. I think it gets a boost from seeing that Godzilla crew win an Oscar, hold up toy Godzilla, say Godzilla, Godzilla, Godzilla. And then you see, oh, it's that plus Kong in a collab. I think when we get to it, that's adding millions to the box office opening weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think once they see the actual product, I think we're going to see a steep drop because the effects on it look terrible. As opposed to this Oscar-worthy effects, which were done for Godzilla Minus One. But I will say, boots on the ground, that I went to see Love Lies Bleeding Friday morning at 10 a.m., like a normal person would, with a friend of the show, someone I see a lot of movies with, who has a wannabe-o baby.
Wannabe-o toddler now.
Wannabe-o toddler, I guess. Doesn't roll off the tongue as well, but... The booty's on the ground. I can still say booty's on the ground. Mm-hmm. Loves Kong. Mm-hmm. Obsessed with Kong. Not, I mean, Godzilla, sure, we'll watch.
Right.
Kong is the dude.
Right.
And so if this younger generation is into Kong, that's big.
Yeah.
So there is a contingent of youngsters who are Kong crazy.
Yeah.
Because Kong is our Godzilla. Kong is the American Godzilla. Mm-hmm. And I think this young boy, I will say boy, is into the glove because now Kong has a glove. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the target audience for this movie.
Right.
Is 3-year-olds to 15-year-olds.
Right.
And then older people will see it as well.
One more thing, a couple of things on the Oscars. I think we alluded to it earlier. I think based on his performance tonight presenting with the Field of Dreams bit, John Mulaney will be your host of the Academy Awards next year. Could we confirm that here?
Put it in the books. Here's what.
I would say first to break at the BO Boys. John Mulaney will host the Spring 2025 Academy Awards.
And you know what? I mean, there's so many reasons to be excited about the box office. We've talked about it in the last several weeks about Dune 2 and its young stars. And now we're going to get a new young Oscar host who is going to bring this show back to the forefront. And if you have these young stars making non-superhero movies that get nominated, and they're all at the Oscars together, and then you've got this host who's coming out firing. This is a new era for Hollywood, right? Because you don't have a TV host doing the
Oscars. Steadyhand work tonight, Steadyhand.
What was the golden age of Oscars?
Billy Crystal movie star and Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg movie star. Thank you so much, right? And now John Mulaney is not a movie star, right?
Yeah, and probably never will be.
Never will be, but he is a guy that is young and fresh and hot, and he will be a guy that can go hang out with Austin Butler, can go hang out with Chalamet and Zendaya and all those, right? That's the next generation, and I think Jimbo Kimball hangs out with your Anistons and your Andre Riseboroughs and your Courtney Cox. They play Scattergories and pickleball on the weekends with Jason Bateman and the whole Smartless crew.
Right.
This is the next generation, and make way for that.
But here's the reason why Mulaney will be allowed to host, because he performed tonight, crowd cheered, but specifically the last shot you saw was new Academy Award winner, basically mayor of Hollywood now, Robert Downey Jr. I mean, basically pointed and said,
that's him.
That's him.
Book him. And he is the judge of comedy, obviously, because he believes he's the funniest guy in the room. Now, question. Now that RDJ has his Oscar.
Yes.
And he's mayor of Hollywood.
Yes.
And Nicholson's the goat, the king.
Right.
The only man who we really want to see sitting down there in the front.
Front row center, yeah.
Front row center. Is RDJ the new Nicholson? Is that happening?
We've been trying to pick the new Nicholson at the
because it's not Clooney, it's not Pitt.
They don't.
Leo doesn't want it.
Leo, no. Leo definitely doesn't want it. Leo wasn't there tonight.
Yeah.
Leo must have got tipped off that Lily Gladstone wasn't winning.
Yeah.
I do think Leo is at a level where he's getting that he's getting tipped off, and I think he knew, and so he didn't go.
Pricewaterhouse made one call.
Yeah.
One call.
And it was
so they get hard. One call to someone. Yeah, put the tux away.
And the thing with Jack, and of course you're doing your lifelong tribute to Jack as you're sitting in my dining room across from me with dark shades on.
The shades are an homage to Jack Nicholson, one of the greatest stars.
Yeah,
and box office star. But he loved being front row center at the Oscars in a way that obviously Leo does not.
Mm-hmm.
I think Clooney is fine with it, but doesn't love it. Hanks. Just it's not his thing to be the center of attention in that way and to be genuflected at. He's uncomfortable with that. We all thought maybe it would have been Brad Pitt.
After he won.
But he hasn't become that guy. And I do think Robert Downey Jr. Is going to love being that guy.
That's the thing. So he might be the guy.
I think Robert Downey Jr. is going to be the new Jack after winning tonight. Congratulations. He won for Oppenheimer in a part that easily could have been cut out of the film and made the film better. But that's besides the point.
Yeah.
You're not a critic, huh? I'm not
a critic, huh? But I think last thing that I'd want to bring up on the Oscars, the only giant category, big category that was a toss-up going into the night was Best Actress. Mm-hmm. Emma Stone won the Academy Award for Best Actress. And I think that this puts her into a level of stardom that is tippy top tier. She's an A++ movie star now. I mean, Poor Things, for the movie that is, this made over $100 million worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a hit movie in a way that the Focus Features couldn't make a hit out of the holdovers. But Emma Stone made a hit out of a really crazy movie like Poor Things. She wins her second Oscar. I mean, my take on this is, in the end, the Academy just loved Poor Things and they did not like Killers of the Flower Moon. You know, we both called it early in the night. Once Poor Things won those three crafts categories in a row,
yeah,
it won what? Makeup, it won costume, it won production design. And those are categories that we thought Barbie was going to win at least one or two.
I think makeup especially was a little shocking because the Dafoe makeup was something, but the rest was, how do you make Emma Stone look beautiful?
Right.
Probably pretty easy. Yeah.
But it won those three, and then that made it clear that the Academy, I mean, my prediction is, if we ever saw what the order of what the Best Picture nominees, how they came in vote-wise, Poor Things got second place.
Two.
And I think that's really what it came down to for Best Actress, is that the Academy liked Poor Things. They didn't love Killers of Flower Moon. And so Emma Stone was just always winning this thing.
Yeah, I agree.
And it just puts her into a level of star where I hope, you know, she does her little things with Nathan For You, and that was nice. And it was like almost like a nice little charity movie.
Well, his name is Nathan Fielder, not Nathan For You.
Yes, his official name is Nathan Fielder,
yeah.
But best known as Nathan For You. But she did that, and that was sweet of her to do that show. But let's just hope she sticks to big movies, because she is a star who can make box office out of small things, Poor Things.
More things.
And I think with this Oscar, she just graduates into a level where she is just such a headliner now. Let's let her make some money at the box office.
That's it. Before we get to the box office, quick hits,
yeah.
Good things that happened. Zone of Interest, winning sound,
yeah.
Should have.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton,
yeah.
in the front row, reacting to Schwarzenegger and DeVito, especially DeVito, calling him out as Batman.
Yeah.
Keaton just having that great grim look on his face saying, bring it on. I mean, if anybody could be I would want to be the Jack Nicholson, it's Keaton. I know Keaton's not as iconic, so it wouldn't happen, but he's a guy I would love to see them just show in the audience reacting to things. That would be awesome, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Boy and the Heron.
Okay.
I wanna be a boy, Jason.
Read it.
Email from an hour ago. Hell yeah, The Boy and the Heron won. Let's go. Wanna be oh boy, Jason. Damn right, let's go.
LFG.
Is this another nail in the coffin of superheroes?
I think 100%, because this is the Academy voters. They got their ballots, and they're checking off, oh, I want Poor Things to win, and Oppenheimer, this important movie. And then when it got to Best Animated Feature, they hovered next to Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And I'm not voting for a goddamn superhero movie right now. I'm voting for Robert Downey Jr., who just escaped all this bullshit. I'm voting for Christopher Nolan, who couldn't run further at this point from these movies.
Yeah.
You can't go back. And I think tonight was just another smack in the face and nail in the coffin, dirt on the coffin for these superhero movies. I mean, one of Mulaney's jokes that just destroyed in his set was when he
saying famous quotes.
He said the famous quote from Madame Web. I mean, it is a punching bag, Spidey cartoon, got smacked in the face by a real artist, Miyazaki. I mean, could, in good conscience, who are these Academy voters? You know, these 88-year-old hairdressers who get one producing credit in the 70s and still get to vote, they could not bring themselves to vote for a Spidey cartoon over a Miyazaki movie. It'd be and
because they're asking their grandkids or their great-grandkids,
right,
what do you like? And they're like, Miyazaki is a god. He's a master of what he does.
Well, they're saying, is Freddie Fazbear nominated? The 88-year-old hairdresser who's a producer says no. And then they say, okay, well, then vote for Miyazaki. If Freddie Fazbear is not nominated, then, you know, that's choice A. MatPat, choice two, then Miyazaki.
MatPat, not nominated for Best Supporting.
Yeah.
Curious. Too short of screen time.
I don't think he ever had a chance to be nominated, but him, Freddie Fazbear, one of the flaws of this telecast was get them in there as presenters.
Yeah.
You know, get
he had Pacino instead of Freddie Fazbear, which is what we called.
Yeah, and I listen, we love Michael Corleone. I think Freddie Fazbear would have done an equal job reading Oppenheimer.
Agreed.
Yeah. So we'll leave it at that. Freddie Fazbear, Pacino, same level in terms of reading a card out of an envelope.